is Follow the Money on VSiN.
A lot to get into in the final hour of the program, including with our next guest. Wes Reynolds joins the program now. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. He is live. We're in Omaha. He's in downtown Indianapolis at the Pacers game last night, going to the Fever game today. Wes, thanks for the time. Paulie and I were each on the Pacers last night, plus six. No exaggeration. One of the worst beats I've ever taken, same as Paulie. Did you have them last night, and how did they respond in game five?
I did not have them last night, but I thought that the Pacers were the right side, not only based how the game played out, but the fact that you were paying the tax, I think, if you were laying Oklahoma City last night. So Thunder backers got very lucky, and they should feel very fortunate to go ahead and cover that game. I just thought it was a couple things, guys. Number one, the extender was here in the Circle City last night, and that being Scott Foster. And I thought some of the calls down the stretch. There are a lot of missed travels, by the way, on the MVP, namely the one where he pushed off Aaron Nesmith and then traveled after he pushed off. So there were two calls right there in front of the official that were not made and got away with them. And then I thought that the Pacers got a little stagnant offensively. They were running too much of that ISO. They were running too much of that two-man game with Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner. I think Pascal Siakam is actually still standing over there in the corner waiting to get thrown the ball. And, you know, in that corner spot to cut to the rim. But, yeah, too much dribbling from the Pacer guards last night. Halliburton and Nembhard, I believe, combined for 10 turnovers in the game and just couldn't get any looks down the stretch. Part of that was the Thunder defense, and part of that was just the Pacers getting away from, I think, what got them the lead, which is to run and attack the paint and get threes in transition, and they weren't able to do that at the end.
How'd you feel at the start of the fourth quarter? Up seven? And you've dominated the fourth quarter of this series. You still had to be feeling pretty good, though. You're going to go up 3-1.
I did, but then there was a little cloud that came over that because Pat McAfee, of course, was at the game. He was given the mic by the MC, and he mentioned the point spread. I was like, no, don't do that. Please don't give us the mush. Don't give us the mush, Pat. And threw a little bomb at Stephen A., his colleague at a four-letter network. And then it was kind of all downhill from there. But I'm not blaming, but we're just looking for reasons why. I think we were all kind of dumbfounded leaving Gainbridge Fieldhouse last night.
Any interest in grabbing the 9.5 in game five?
I would certainly lean that way. I think a lot of people are thinking that, oh, God, this is going to be a wrap, that they blew their opportunity. I still worry a little bit, you know, the adjustment, you know, worry a little bit if I'm a Thunder backer, I should say, because Rick Carlisle every single time and the Pacers every single time they've been knocked down this postseason, they've been able to respond the next game. You don't win 14 playoff games because it's a fluke or because it's luck. So I expect that they're going to make those adjustments. I expect that they're going to try to get the ball in space and create more space for Halliburton and attack the paint, like they did in game number three. That's what they have to do because the Thunder gave up almost 60 points in the paint in game number three. So I think that that's what they have to do. I don't think this is over. I think that, you know, they blew a golden opportunity certainly last night, but I don't think it's over just yet. I think 9.5 is probably where it should be. I would lean to taking that because based on what we saw last night with the result, with the spread when it was six, if you think that the home court advantage is 3 points, you would have had the Thunder as like a 12-point favorite. So maybe now it's discounted a little bit with the zigzag. Yeah. I think if this gets to 10, it's an absolute take.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about the free throw merchant. For whatever reason, he gets a completely different whistle than everyone else. Would you put Nembhard on him more? Because I thought he took apart Nesmith, and I would put Nembhard on him more.
Well, I got to credit the Thunder, though, because they caught Nesmith on some switches. Because Nembhard was doing a good job on him. And I thought, actually, in game number three, there were some times that Ben Shepherd did a very good job on him. Like, Ben's not going to stop him off the dribble, but he's going to push him farther away from the basket to initiate the action. So, yeah, they need Nembhard on him because Nesmith got caught on a couple switches and every single time Nesmith was on him in that late stretch, he either got fouled or he scored. So, you know, Gilgeous-Alexander, that's what the MVP does. Now, he got some beneficial calls, but That's what the MVP does. And he's their closer. And you could tell he's their only closer. He's the only guy trust. Yeah. They do not trust Chet. They do not trust Jalen Williams. They do not trust anybody else. This is going to be SGA, SGA, SGA over and over again. So you got to make them pay for that, because I think the Pacers, they trust multiple guys. And that's, I think, a good thing, because none of the guys are afraid to take that shot, whether it's Tyrese or Pascal or Nembhard or Nesmith or Mathurin or whoever's in the game.
Wes Reynolds, our guest here. He's on the Progressive Guest Line in downtown Indianapolis as we're in Omaha for the College World Series. You're going to the Indiana Fever game today. Kalen Clark makes her return. They take on the New York Liberty. By the way, they're 9-0, yet to lose. Best team in the league. And they're laying 5 points at Indiana today. Totals 170.5 or thereabouts. What do you make of those numbers?
Yeah, it is. It is Kalen Clark back. Also, Sophie Cunningham back with an ankle injury. Still waiting on that status for Jonquel Jones for the New York Liberty, who are kind of in the driver's seat right now, because these are the Commissioner's Cup games where you have the top team in the West against the top team in the East. And right now it's the Liberty. So this is kind of an elimination game for the Fever that they have to win to get back in the race. I would lean a little bit. Keep in mind, earlier in the season, they were, I think, 1.5 laying at home a few weeks ago when Caitlin was obviously still healthy, and the Liberty did win by 2. So this is a little bit of a big adjustment for me. I think it's probably too high. It'd be Fever or nothing for me.
What do you think of the golf now? We're underway in the third round. It's an interesting leaderboard. Do you want to make a case for it? Hovland's the second shot right now behind Burns. Take us through if you did anything today, and how do you see this playing out with the U.S. Open?
Yeah, no ads for me today, guys, but I do have Victor Hovland pre-tournament at 60-1. And right now, on strokes gained approach, number 2 in the field, only behind the Belgian Thomas Dietrich. So he's been terrific with his irons, and he's been terrific actually around the green, which we know watching him over the last several years, that's his weak spot, is around the green. But it's not his weak spot here at Oakmont, because he's not chipping off short grasses. He's pitching out of like that thick stuff right around the green, and that's where he's very good. And he's gained, I think, 2 strokes on average per round around the green. So I feel like Hovland is probably the guy to beat. I say that with some hope, too, not just some confidence, because Sam Burns up there with the leader. And, of course, I had Sam Burns last week in Canada at the RBC Canadian Open playoff and lost. So wouldn't it just be golf betting if he were to go ahead and win this week, where we get a little premature tipulation last week?
Yeah. What do you think the winning score is?
I said before the tournament it was going to be 2 under. And I'm going to say 1 under. I'm going to say 1 under par is going to be the winning score on Sunday. Now, to be honest with you, I'm horrible at picking winning scores of these tournaments, because I usually think it's going to play harder, and then these guys are good, they tear it up, but they're not tearing it up this week. This course has been an absolute brute, not just the thick rough, but I think with these speedy greens, and even if they get some weather today, they have that sub-air system at Oakmont, so these greens are still going to be about 15 on the stiff meter.
Okay, let me throw some names at you. You tell me if you think they're live or not. Adam Scott, he's even 3 strokes back. Yay or nay?
I will say yay here. He's a grinder, and he's a veteran, and he's the type of guy that you would think would succeed at a U.S. Open because of all that experience. Now, you know, he doesn't hit it as long as he used to, but he's a lot better around the greens than he used to be. Because remember when he had that anchored putter, and the anchored putter ban really affected him, but all of a sudden that's become the strength of his game. So Adam Scott, I think, would not surprise me to see him in the mix on Sunday.
Brooksy, Koepka going to get in this thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to say nay. I'm going to say nay on him, and that might be famous. That might be famous last words here, because it's interesting, guys, that Brooks Koepka is always widely tipped at majors because Brooks only cares about the majors, quote unquote, and he's got 5 on his trophy case. And then nobody talked about him this week. Nobody hardly mentioned him this week. And there he was in contention on day 1. Fell back a little bit yesterday. The iron play has been spectacular. We'll see if he can keep that up.
Great job, Wes. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. There you
go. Wes Reynolds.
Yep.
All right. NBA Finals, Stanley Cup are here. ProfitX offering the best odds all playoff long. ProfitX peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your picks against other groups of fans rather than against sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today, code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Go get it now. New user sign-up offer, ProfitX.
Tom Haberstroh with a good tweet. Game 4, NBA Finals. The longest finals game in years. It was also a Scott Foster game, he said. The extender indeed. Last night's game took 169 minutes, as he tweeted out. There hasn't been a game in the finals over 150 minutes in the last 4 years.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this series, on average, has been 156 minutes long per game. Last year, 138. The year before that, 141, and then 142.
Yeah. Did it seem like that? I didn't notice.
Oh, I did.
All the fouls.
Yeah, it was a long one. But there you go. He gets the nickname for a reason.
I know. Tough.
All right. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're live in Omaha for the College World Series at Rocco's. Up next, Derek Stevens, owner of Circa, will join the program. We'll get his thoughts on these two games today. Next.
Is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Welcome in. Special Saturday edition of Follow the Money on the road in Omaha for the College World Series. Derek Stevens joins the program now. Owner of Circa Las Vegas on the road here for the event as well. You love this event, and you were spot on telling us about it last year, prior years. Like, you're not going to believe it when you go there.
It's unbelievable. We're here, you know, Omaha time. What time is it now? 11:15.
Yeah.
This place has been packed. I could barely get in the door here. I just say I'm going out with you guys.
It's been packed since what? 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
10:15, something like that.
Yeah. 6 a.m. Though we're lining up for tickets here.
Yeah.
The stadium.
I was in here. Let me think about it. I was in here about 8 hours ago with a big crew. It looked a little different. It was a lot of beer spilled all over the place. But what a venue.
Kevin was saying that they were out of all canned beer by 10:30 last night. They went through 58 kegs of beer. I don't even remember the number that he put out there for cases that he said.
Yeah.
They have, you know, 1,000 cases of beer getting delivered today, whatever it is. And he said today will blow by yesterday.
Amazing. Amazing. And I heard they're setting their own a record pace on Jello shots.
That's what he said too. Yeah.
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 Awesome.
Do you think LSU fans will stick around if they get eliminated early?
I don't know. I've heard LSU. I mean, I was here last year. There's a ton of LSU fans here, and LSU wasn't even here.
Yeah.
So I think they kind of like swarmed. This is like their meeting spot in the middle of June.
We just did Do You Concur, and I said you were a genius. And you think of everything with your casinos and your hotels. It's nothing like the suite at the Golden Gate or the Circa with the shower, with the temperature. I want a hot shower, damn it, with the temperature and then the water pressure.
And it stays hot.
Yes.
The entire time at that temperature that you want it at.
I can't get it anywhere else.
Yeah, no, it's trips like this that make us like that, make us remember that, that's for sure. You're right.
You notice that too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. God, I wish I had a little more water pressure.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah. How you're on the app right now at Circa. How has the betting handle been for the College World Series?
It's been pretty good. A lot of parlays. A little bit more on the parlay side of things, where people are putting two sides, two totals into something. So it's been you know, continuing to grow year over year. I think the setup this year sets it up again to grow more next year. So I think this has been a good thing.
Home run props popular too.
Yeah, one of the guys that won yesterday. So home run props. In the early game, not so much. Started picking up in the second game. Yeah, and we got all the home run props here. Home run props today. So
don't you like the no? That's a big ballpark, huge.
It's a
I would
big
think
ballpark.
You can lay the no on these guys.
But you got to lay a lot of juice on the no. I mean, look at for Murray State and Hogarth. You know, you got to lay -390 with him today. Take a look at Garner. You're laying on a no -530. So you're leaning some juice. On the UCLA side, let's take a look at Jones. You're leaning minus 475. So, yeah, you got to lay a lot of juice. I think we had, was it in the night game last night? It was one of the fellas. I think White hit the home run. Right?
White was the guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Can people parlay the nose on those?
No.
You cannot?
No.
You got to
bet them
straight?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you like anything today?
You know what? I kind of like Murray State today. I like this as a scrappy team. I loved Coastal going in yesterday, and I love Coastal because this guy thought they're so scrappy and the way they get on base, you know. And I would say yesterday I thought Coastal actually won a little more decisively because remember they called the guy out on a hit by pitch. You know they're getting a little more orientated around the way Coastal plays. They do anything to get on base.
Well, you said that with us. Yeah, they small ball you to death.
Yeah,
they'll bunt on you and then the hit by pitch thing too, which setting the records what they did.
Yeah, so I'm liking Murray State today, and I don't want to talk about the big game tonight because I probably got a little too much bias. House needs Arkansas. A little bit today, so I don't want to comment on that one. This is going to be an unbelievable game. I mean, these games yesterday were unbelievable.
Well, that game last night was so good at the end, how that finished like in the ninth inning. Crazy good. Early game, too, a lot of drama, like you said. Yeah. And we talked about this with Matt Grissom earlier. Coastal Carolina, clearly not like a Power 5 team, not a blue blood. I don't think at this point it would be that much of a surprise if they won the whole thing.
I agree. I think it's pretty wide open. We'll see how the kid on LSU pitches tonight, how dominant he is, and how many times he can go. But, no, I think it's pretty wide open here.
Your son played in this park.
Yeah. I had to ask him yesterday. Yeah. I said, how many times did you play here? He goes. He said he probably played like 10 games here over
that many?
His career. Well,
wow.
Remember, this field is the home field for Creighton. And when he was playing in college baseball, every other year they had a 4-game series at Creighton, so that's 8 games. And then he played here in the Big East tournament. So he played here a few times.
Wow.
I said, What was your biggest memory? He goes, We won that one game against Creighton when Creighton was pretty good. We won 1-0 in front of like 15,000 people. And now he goes, I got the hit in the RBI. We win 1-0. I go, man, what a game. Because that's number one game of his life.
Oh,
for sure.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
Phenomenal. They really this park is awesome.
Yes, it is.
They did a great job with that park.
Did you get a chance to walk around a little bit?
A little bit.
It's amazing.
The sight lines are fantastic wherever I was yesterday.
Yeah.
I hope the one that they build in Las Vegas is going to be this nice. I'm sure it will because that's going to be a major league ballpark. But that's, you know.
Yeah. There's something special about Schwab Field there. It's amazing. And, you know, when the game's going, I walked around the outside concourse and you look down. You look over here at the Blatt. You look over at the Fan Fest. You look over here at Rocco's. Everything's packed during the whole game.
Yeah.
It's nonstop. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's two games. You know, they turn the stadium over, but everybody still hangs around.
Yep. You're mingling. You're meeting a lot of people on this trip as well. Do you get the sense that people in this part of the country like or love Tibet?
Oh, no. This is amazing. I made a joke with a couple execs out here. Like, this is a city that grows up on betting. It's like unbelievable. Like, I don't know anybody here that I met that doesn't have a wager on something or other. And they all have an angle. Like, there's a lot of Chiefs fans here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of football fans in general. Obviously, a lot of Nebraska fans. And everybody wants a wager. I can't believe how many people I ran into yesterday that said, I'll be out in 2 weeks. I'm signing up for Circa Survivor. I'm starting to sign up for Circa Millions. Oh, remember when I came out there on check ceremony? I took that picture with you with the big check. I'm like, yeah, it's good.
Wow. A lot of Iowa football fans here as well.
Sure.
Right
certainly.
Across. Yeah. Can you imagine that? Yeah. How would you like to be an Iowa football fan?
No, thanks.
I mean, if you were from that state, you would have tapped out years ago,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Went in every game 14-13. No way. You got a Jello shot update? Oh. Wilbo said he did 29 yesterday.
Yeah, he did 29. He's filled with Jello right now, that's for sure. That's why he had to take the, he took the odds lead. You know, he just kept going. That was, wait, today's Saturday. No, he did 29 on Thursday, right? Or was it yesterday?
I thought he said yesterday. We'll see
maybe
what he says coming up.
We got Wilbo coming on.
Yeah.
Great.
Weenie's in bikini, so tell
there
that
we go.
As well.
There we go.
You see the move on Florida tonight? What do you think of the hockey game?
Yeah, that hockey game. We were watching it right from in here the other night. Wow, what a comeback. That was amazing. Not necessarily what the house wanted, but amazing nonetheless.
And so you guys have taken a lot of money on Florida for this game?
Yeah, I mean, overall, the house needs Florida for the series. That still hasn't changed on all the series price. So that's still our big position that we're pulling for Florida. You know, that the major move in the game the other day was on this under, and all of a sudden, you know, it flew over. This is a situation where we kind of took the lead on maybe moving the line down, which meant we took a lot of over money. So the total didn't work out for Circus Sports quite as well as other books, but clearly that was the major move. But who's playing in goal?
Pickard.
Okay.
7-0.
Yeah.
It was great.
This decision, that's got to be over with, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah.
Are you seeing more money on the under for tonight?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about tonight. I just
didn't know if it was seeing
I don't have I don't have an update on tonight.
No, okay. I can't get there with the under the way the series is playing out, though.
The last 11 meetings have gone over.
Yeah, there are so many shots on goal every single game.
Yeah.
Well, it could be with the fatigue, though, with that schedule.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about overtime and then travel.
I mean the angle that, like Mike Palmer brought up, you know, with Florida having the last move and how they can neutralize that McDavid line, that made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It made a lot of sense. Obviously, things are a little different now.
Yeah.
Today.
What's your day like today, then? Are you going to go hit the Jello shot just as soon as you're off the air with us?
No. We got a big corporate event at Omaha Steaks. We're trying to work with those executives, and we're talking a lot about VSIN, talking a lot about having their corporate events out in Vegas, and I'm trying to roll a couple of these guys into maybe a couple of Grandissimo guys over there. If they're giving out tomahawks over at this party, I'm like. Well, what's the next step? Grandissimo.
Yeah, right. You would think that's natural, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So we'll be doing that, and then we got a whole crew for the big game tonight. We're going in for LSU, Arkansas.
Well, tonight's going to be great. Something else.
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, guys, thank you very much for coming.
I
love having Neeson. I know I pitched you guys to come in and come to Omaha. I'm really glad you guys spent the time and got to hang out. It's pretty awesome.
We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, very cool of you. There you go. Derek Stevens, owner of Circa Sports. We'll continue with Wilbo up next from Circa as well. Could he do 50 Jello shots in one day? I got to ask him that. And is his personal record 29 that's coming up here as we're live in Omaha for the College World Series?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. Special edition, Follow the Money on the road in Omaha for the College World Series. Place is starting to get packed as we speak here at Rocco's, home of the world-famous Jello Shot Challenge. And Wilbo joins the program now from Circa Sports and also Stadium Swim and the entire resort back in Las Vegas. How are you today, pal?
Man, I'm fantastic. You know, day three of this gauntlet. And it's been a blast so far.
How long are you staying for?
Stay until Monday. Got in Wednesday night. Stay until Monday.
So you can put him down.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. You're pretty proud of what you're able to pull off here. They originally put up the Jello shot odds here at VSiN day one. You were part of the field. And I'm like, okay. You were in that along with Stormy's husband, Chris. And I'm like, give me the field at 5-1 all day long. They since did something illegal they don't care for. They put you on your own at what, plus 120 or so?
Yeah, you know, and when I woke up Wednesday morning, you know, and I saw those odds come out, and, you know, it added a little fuel to the fire for sure heading into the weekend. You know, I didn't realize Wilbo was spelled F-I-E-L-D, so I was confused for sure. But, you know, I'm glad that we've kind of updated it, you know, and now I think this looks about right. This looks about right for this weekend.
How many deep are you right now? For the whole week?
For the week, I'm sitting right around 50. I'm sitting right around 50.
Wow.
So, you know, two more days left of this. The goal is to definitely break 100.
Could you do 50 in one day?
If that was the only thing I was doing, and, you know, it's not like I've only been drinking Jello shots. You know, I've been drinking plenty of other things, too. But if I was only drinking Jello shots, yeah, I could do 50 in one day.
And your record is, like, 29 or whatever?
Yeah, it was 29 on Thursday night. That Thursday was 29.
Yep. Is anybody else, like, coming close to your number?
Yeah, you know, we got a couple young guns out here from Circa. that have really been pushing the envelope and making me do more than I wanted necessarily, just because now that I'm the favorite, I feel a little bit of pressure to keep going. So we got a kid named Quinn who's really pushing me to keep going.
What, young buck right out of college?
Yeah, he's like 23.
Prime drinking age?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Are you going to hold him off?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm running away with this thing today.
Okay. Mike Palm was trying to make a push.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was Thursday when we were on VSiN Primetime, and he was saying that he was trying to do 40. And I'm like, Mike, come on. But he was at like 15 when I was right at 15 as well. And then I, you know, doubled it. So.
Okay. JBT also did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
We have not.
It's all right.
I've only had two. Paul, he hasn't had one. He doesn't like Jell-O, and I'm not a big fan either.
Look, it is a lot of Jell-O.
Yes,
it is.
When you even think of 50 Jell-O shots, you know, these do have booze in them. Luckily, these are actually, you know, these can get you there, but it is just a lot of Jell-O, and you can get full for sure.
And you got to work at it so much.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you know, you got to pop the bottom, then you got to squeeze. You know, it's weird. You know, it's weird. It's a weird thing to do, you know, 50 times in the past 2 days. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. CircleLasVegas.com. Wilbo, he's your guy. You want a booth in the sports book. You want a cabana at the best pool in the world. CircleLasVegas.com. Tell people what you're doing 4th of July with Weenies and Bikinis.
Yeah. The second annual Weenies and Bikinis contest. This came about, you know, kind of just off the cuff last year, probably about a month out. And we were like, you know, what's more American than eating hot dogs, drinking beers, you know, being out in the sun, you know, in the water. And, you know, obviously they do it at Nathan's Coney. You know, they do the hot dog eating contest on 4th of July. But, you know, we wanted to put our own spin on it. So we're having our second annual Weenies and Bikinis contest at Stadium Swim on the 4th of July. It's 10 contestants, all women from the industry, invite only. And the industry, I mean, you know, the, I would say day club industry.
Okay.
It's invite only. So we get to select who's there, have 10 of them. And you got to eat as many hot dogs as humanly possible in 5 minutes.
What'd they do last year?
So we had 5 minutes. We had a winner. The winner, she ate 15.
What?
She ate 15.
Get out of here.
I swear. We didn't realize when she was in the contest that she was a professional eater. But she was unbelievable. And, you know, 15 took first. Second place was 5. And third place was 4th. It was 4.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So she blew people away.
I can't believe she works in the day club scene. And she's a professional eater?
So, yes, she was a cocktail server around the city. And, she applied. And she also had her – we didn't know. We should have vetted this more. But it was incredible because it
– Well, how would you know that?
You had no idea.
Well, a woman could put down 15 dogs.
I know.
That's outrageous.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's unheard of.
It was the female Joey Chestnut, Kobayashi. Like, it was insane. She was taking dogs from other girls' plates. Like, it was insane.
Is she invited back?
No, not this year.
Banned?
Not this year. I mean, professional eater. You know, this is you know, an amateur event. You know, we can't have professionals in the amateur events.
Well, I got to tell you, if you told me the winner had 5, I would have been impressed.
Oh, yeah.
And the winner was in second place with 5.
I know.
Even 4 in 5 minutes is tough to do.
And July at Stadium Swim in the heat, oh, man, it is tough to take down those dogs, for sure. Yeah.
Paulie's a weird cat. You know this, right?
Oh, of course.
Hot dog with nothing on it.
Plain Jane.
Plain.
Okay, you know, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I'm just a mustard guy.
Okay.
I can see that.
Well, I'm strictly with mustard.
You relish?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. But if I had my pick, it would just be mustard.
Okay, so if you get a good night's sleep, you sleep in late, get up at like 11, no food, I give you a 6-pack of beer, you put that down, how many dogs could you eat in 10 minutes?
I think I'm going to be right around 15 in 10 minutes. You know, obviously the winner last year for the Weenies Bikinis had only 5 minutes to do 15. I think I could do 15 and 10, but it's tough, man, because you could probably get through those first 4 or 5 like fast, and then you just start hitting a wall. There's a reason why in these contests the people have the water you dunk it in and all that stuff. And, you know, as gross as it is, it does help as long as you can get past all that.
Yeah. So you can whack down the 15 dogs and the buns.
Yeah, you got to have the buns.
You have to.
You got to take the buns down. Yep.
Well, could you do more than 2?
Nathan's hot dog. I've got a six pack in me. I don't know, maybe four.
We use American Coney Island.
Oh, Coney Island.
We use American. Obviously, Nathan over in New York, Las Vegas, American.
What food item could you go to war with the most if you were life is on the line and you had to beat somebody in a food eating challenge?
Oh, give me a pizza. Give me a pizza, whether it's the amount of pizza I have to eat or if I have to eat the pizza the fastest. I'd crush pizza. And I'm talking boxes.
Plural.
Box?
Plural.
Wow.
Plural. No, that's my favorite food.
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree with that. I've said before, I'm pretty confident I could do like 75 nuggets from Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
You give me a couple beers, give me 10 minutes, I think I could do that.
I respect that. I mean, that's a lot of nuggets.
That would be my number one food item.
There we go.
Yeah. Just because it's like they're perfect. Yeah. They're bite size.
Yeah, right.
Boom, just like nonstop.
And wash it down. Yeah, you're going to be good.
Yeah.
You'll be good.
We'll talk to you next month as well. But how did this idea come about with Slot? What's it called? Slotzilla?
Yeah, Slotzilla. July 19th? Slotzilla, yeah. This is my second chance to explain it on air. I butchered it the last time I tried. But Slotzilla, it's kind of been something that Derek has been thinking about. You know, we want to have the biggest, you know, the most slot used all at once. And, you know, we have 1,312 slot machines here at Circa. And the main goal of Slotapalooza is to get as many bodies on these slot machines at one time. The goal is obviously 1,312, and we want that to happen. But to do that, to incentivize people to come down to property, we're going to have an open bar on that Saturday night. You know, it's going to be July 19th from 7 to 9. And then open bar. That means the whole entire casino floor, open bar to the public.
Yep.
And then right at 8 o'clock, everyone gets on the slot machines. We're going to have a hot seat. I'm going to get this correct this time. Every 90 seconds for 15 minutes, we will be giving away $500 in free play on all the machines.
Wow.
So we're giving away $5,000 in 15 minutes. So that'll help, you know, incentivize people to play, as well as the free drinks. A whole bunch of other things going on when it comes to slots, when it comes to a lot of the vendors and stuff like that. So it's going to be a hell of an event. We're super excited. You know, not much going on in the middle of July. So this is going to be a fun time to set a record of the most slot machines being used all at once.
It's a great idea.
Yes.
Awesome promotion.
Yeah.
Your idea?
No,
it's
started with Derek and moved down into our slot division. And then they kind of ran with it.
Yes.
Good job. Thank you.
I was setting you up. You could have stolen it right there.
I know. Okay. I know. Too many people are watching.
All right, buddy. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for popping on.
CircaLasVegas.com. Best pool in the world. Best sports book in the world. You want a booth. You want a cabana. CircaLasVegas.com and reach out to Big Balls. Wilbo. Want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, our splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight into where the sharp action's landing. See the percentage of bets, first percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits as little as $9.99 for your first month. Get in now, VSiN.com/subscribe.
And that was Wilbo from Circa. We'll wrap it up next here from Omaha in Pocket Plays. As we're live for the College World Series and Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything, you take it. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
Top one. No doubt. One of the worst beats of my life, especially in a big game, as Mitch said earlier. Pacers plus 6. Up 4 with 3 minutes. You can't cover, and it doesn't go to overtime. 1 point the rest of the way. Mathurin missed 3 free throws. SGA getting to the line. Unbelievable. Oh, that was stunk. And they win by 7. Also, Dort hits a 3 right off the bat. The only 3 he attempted. Over 1.5 made threes. He took 2 shots in 32 minutes. He had 4 threes in the last game. He's been great, and he's in that running for most threes in the series. God, unbelievable. All the pending, again, pivotal game five tonight. Can't wait in Edmonton. Series tied at 2. No hat trick in the series, minus 190. No shutout, minus 120. Panthers to win in 6, plus 475. Bennett to win the Conn Smythe. He's plus 150. 30-1. We grabbed him. Will there be 10-plus goals scored in a game? No, minus 170. That's a loser under 5.5 games with the NBA Finals Series. And Ben Griffin, top 5, 9-1 to win it outright, 70-1. And then tonight, couple props. Got to go right back with Ekholm over block shots, 1.5 over minus 150. The over's on an 11-1 run. And I know it's you got to pay a tax. I agree with Jonathan Davis, but I'm going Bob Saves over 28.5. It's 4-0 to the over so far in the series. Good luck tonight.
All right. A couple of losers for me last night. What's new? Bad run here. Angels pitcher, Konowitz, did not walk anybody over, was dead. There was also a rain delay. Did not help my cause in that
delay.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a loser, and I'm seeing this right now on social media. People are saying it absolutely happened. As I was on the Pacers plus a 6 last night as well. So take this for what it's worth. It is on Twitter, but people are saying, I can confirm it. I was right there. This did happen. Scott Foster tossed a fan last night. Foster, of course, known as the extender, referee in the NBA. He was sitting near courtside. The fan was removed by security, according to Twitter. And one person who said, I was sitting right there, he called him Donaghy. And other people are chiming in saying, absolutely happened. I was right there.
Rabbit ears.
Again, it's Twitter, whatever. Is it accurate? I tend to maybe believe it. But
controversial finish. Who's involved?
How does the guy
the push off
keep getting these games?
I know. Good point. How was he? Forget about that. How was the guy cleared in the investigation?
No kidding.
He was the best man at his wedding. They were tight. Google the story.
Google phone calls between
those
two.
That's what I'm going to go to. Yes. They were calling each other before and immediately after games, and the calls were 30 to 60 seconds. What do you think that...
20 years ago. Guy's still working.
Unbelievable.
So, anyway, I got
good point.
Stuff.
How does he keep getting these assignments? No doubt.
Pending here, SGA to average under 33.5 points per game. I think it's like 32.7 right now.
I'm going to Google it right now.
But he'll... that's probably a loser because he's going to have 38 and go to the free throw line 12 times in the fourth quarter. Scheffler, Rahm, Pending, DeChambeau, Obert, no good to win the U.S. Open. And I got, I'm putting myself on the self-exclusion list this weekend. No more bets. Bad run. My apologies.
What can you do? God, that was so bad. If you're into the futures wagering, fantasy, or just like the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out XCUTTA. XCUTTA. It's the future of how we play. Think of it combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book. One second. Support email support at xcutta.com. Mention VSIN, they'll send you a 3-month player code special to get started. xcutta.com, XCUTTA, futures wagering, just got a serious upgrade. It's fun, you'll love it. XCutta.
Okay, we have a big crew here on the road with us in Omaha. We could not do it without them.
Yeah,
Luke, our producer, helping set up every single show. Miles, of course, coordinating everything. Alex and Isaiah, they drove all the equipment out from Las Vegas. Took like more than 20 hours to get out here, guys. Karina, back in Vegas. John, Sean, Alexis, Andre, Ryan, Andrew, Al, everybody involved. Thank you. Could not have done it without you, obviously. And Bill Ady, Steve Cohen, Brian Musburger, everybody else. Stormy, JBT as well for putting this on out here. And Derek Stevens, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yep.
So it's been really
great
cool. I wish we had one more day because I like
Omaha.
You. I'd go check out the – I'd go to the zoo.
You're damn right. Yep,
I also want to maybe knock out Culver's at some point.
Oh, I can't believe we didn't do Culver's. Didn't do Runza. I'll tell you, a lot of people gave me the thumbs down on Runza. They said it's a good burger, but those sandwiches, no dice. We drove past one.
Yeah. I didn't want to spoil the party for you.
What?
I was told the same thing.
Oh.
Because I know you were looking forward to it.
Oh, I should. Yeah.
But Culver's. Also, you know what? You just got to try it for yourself, though, maybe.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this is worse than I thought. Originally reported by Fox News, Donaghy called Foster 130 times. Donaghy's calls to Foster took place immediately before and after games. Donaghy was officiating 54 times. The initial report showed the following call log from December 30th, 2006. 10:34 a.m., Donaghy calls Foster. 10:35, Donaghy calls another referee. 10:36, Donaghy calls the middleman between him and his bookie. 10:39, Donaghy calls Foster.
Okay.
Donaghy referees games between the Heat and Magic. The Magic win in a rout. He calls after the game. He calls Foster. They speak for at least the fourth time. They speak for the fifth time. The record shows Donaghy making several calls to Foster on the day of games under 2 minutes every call. How is this guy cleared?
Paul. It's astonishing that the guy is still working games, honestly.
The report said when Donaghy called Foster, he mostly used the phone he dedicated to gambling-related phone calls, and the phone call stopped abruptly when Donaghy said he stopped betting.
Yeah, all coincidence. Nothing to see here. And on the biggest games in your sport. How dumb. And by the way, Dan Goodwin tweeted us, the guy confirming the Foster ejection is a local Fox Sports reporter from last night. Getting called Donaghy, didn't like it, see you later, adios.
Who would call another guy that many times in a day or in a 3 month span?
Right.
And what could you be 30? I mean, it's 60 second phone calls.
Yep. Over and over and in between calling bookies and other people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it. That was stern too.
I don't know. I just some of those calls last night, and look. If you've listened to the show at all for the last couple of years, you know my thoughts on Oklahoma City. They were the team 2 years ago. Loved them after the draft. Thought they were going to explode. It made my case for SGA to be the MVP before this year a couple of times. I cannot stand the way that they officiated some of that stuff last night. I can't stand it. It bothers me as a human being. The blatant push-off with the forearm, which then led to a 3 or 4 step travel by SGA that's not called, and Foster is 5 feet from him watching it with his own eyes. How do you not blow the whistle?
Yeah.
How do you let that go, Paul? How do you let that go?
Well, I've been saying it the entire playoffs, though. It's just this guy gets a completely different whistle. Now, what's going on? He's officiated differently. I mean, you had the Doris Burke with the free throw merchant stuff.
Right.
Fans chanting in Minnesota. Yeah. What's a course going to look like today? Leishman, 3 under. Connors, 3 under for the day.
Oh.
McIntyre with an early birdie. Corey Connors is now tied for 12th.
Well, so are you telling me right now that it's playing much easier than yesterday, the way it appears?
Well, just for those guys, though. I mean, the guys at the bottom, what's Harris English, 14 over. Matsuyama, 14 over. Well, Harmon, 11 over. Finau, 10 over.
Maybe there's a birdie from Cone.
Oh, really?
To get to 1 under on the day?
Yeah.
But maybe this is setting up to where it's going to play a little bit differently than yesterday here in the afternoon.
I'd take a little Koepka. I would. If it looks like that. I mean, if these guys are 3 under here through 7, maybe Koepka can make a push. Koepka was 24 to 1.
Yeah. I think also guys like Rahm and Morikawa. And you can never rule out Scottie Scheffler, obviously. But I'm not going to be surprised if Rahm or Morikawa would get back into this thing.
Come on, Ben Griffin. Do it again.
What are you sitting there in pocket? Top 10? 9-1? All right. Yeah. That's it for us. Hope you enjoyed the programming here from Omaha. Stay tuned. Ready, set, bet. Matt Brown, Mike Somich, next here on VSiN.